team's goal. Of course, Big East championship.
I think we have a lot more length, and that's really one of our strengths.
No matter what we do, we always have to bring energy from the beginning.
Can't be just one person. It has to be the whole entire team.
Whatever happens, you gotta stay locked in, stay motivated, and do what you gotta do to be the player you wanna be.
Welcome to episode 5, I believe, of Full Court Press. I'm your host, Beth. We got the typical squad with us here again today. Errol's here.
Hi.
And Jorge is here.
Hey, everybody.
Jorge's dreaminess just takes me away all the time.
So we'll start with the men's team. The men went on the road on Wednesday, and they beat Providence. That put them in sole possession of third in the Big East, or maybe they were tied with St. John's.
Tied with St. John's.
Yep.
Right. And we saw a very, very solid outing. A team which didn't even blow a late lead. It was not close at the end. They just held on and won. It was wonderful. Josh LeBlanc had 17 points. McClung had 13. Jesse Govan coming a little bit back from his rough Nova outing and had 13. We saw 12 from DeMarco Pickett on 4-of-4 three-point shooting, which I think was very exciting for Hoya fans. 10 points from James Akinjo, 8 of which came at the free throw line, but, you know, 8 assists, so we'll take it.
You gotta get it how you live.
Everyone really stepped up in this game, and they played pretty great defense. Held the Friars to 33% or 30% shooting, I believe. 37% shooting. Held the Friars to 37% shooting, 18% from three, played great defense, were able to get a win on the road, swept Providence. What did you guys see in this game? What were your thoughts?
I think the biggest surprise was, well, I don't want to say surprise, I think the biggest bright spot was DeMarco Pickett starting to find his shot again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think we've talked in the last couple episodes about how, you know, we want to see DeMarco return to the form he was last year. You know, he led the team in some 3-point stat last year. But he, you know, we wanted to see him kind of return to that form. And so I think seeing him come back and be 100% from three in that game against Providence was a really good bright spot for him, to see that he's starting to be confident with his shot again. And I mean, we'll touch on it in a second, but I think that carried over into the Butler game as well. But I think seeing DeMarco, you know, take good shots while still contributing to the game and not just trading off, being like, either I'm going to contribute offensively or defensively, I think was a really good point.
No, it was good. What stood out most for me is that, you know, James Akinjo was taking it on his shoulders to handle the ball late in the game and is confident enough to say, all right, I can step up and hit these free throws and I'll make them. And he went 8-for-10, and most of those coming down the stretch, and he drained them. So I'm impressed that as a freshman, he's finding ways to impact the game while still shooting, you know, 1-for-11 on the floor, which isn't great, but, like, I wouldn't necessarily look at that performance from James and say, oh, he had a bad game.
Yeah, and I definitely think when you look at, for those of you that watched the game, the commentators were almost saying that, you know, Georgetown needs to find a true point guard. Georgetown needs to find a true point guard. You know, James is not the point guard for Georgetown, especially if, you know, Georgetown wants to get back to, you know, the promised land, as they were calling it. And I remember it was kind of like an ongoing debate between the two commentators of whether or not James is that point guard and how that'll be affected, you know, with this incoming recruiting class, which has no guards right as of right now.
Cole Anthony, we're waiting on you.
We are. But I think that James has proven himself time and time again. Yes, you know, he struggled and, you know, has had some mistakes down the stretch. You know, you look at the Marquette game or, you know, the Providence game at home, you know, games like that. He definitely had some mistakes, but I think he's able to learn from them. And you can kind of see that, you know, like you said, Jorge, you know, he's definitely shouldering the ball and definitely has it, you know, with confidence while keeping his turnovers low. You know, the Providence game, he had one turnover. And, you know, that's not something you can say for someone who, you know, dribbles the ball, you know, the majority of the time and plays the majority of your minutes. You know, having someone who has a good assist-to-turnover ratio and, you know, you can trust down the stretch, I think is very beneficial for the Hoyas going forward.
Yeah, the other thing I would say is that Josh LeBlanc, you know, he had 17 points and 11 rebounds. He is just so reliable. And there was, I think, an Ed Cooley quote after the game. He said he's not getting any plays called for him. There's no plays that set up Josh LeBlanc to shoot. There's no plays that get Josh LeBlanc alone in the post. Those plays are for Jesse. Those plays are for Jamarco on the wing or Greg to be shooting. Josh LeBlanc is getting a double-double with no plays called for him. He is just flying across the boards. He is crashing the glass. He is getting, like, crazy putbacks and fun dunks. I mean, we can talk about the two no-look passes from Mac in the Providence game, the one to set Josh up for a crazy dunk. But, yeah, like, I think he – I will revert back to my take. I think that I had on the very first Full Court Press episode that I said Josh is the best player in the freshman class, and I maintain that to this day. I think he has the highest ceiling, and he is starting to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he definitely has the skill set. You know, yes, 17 points is 17 points from Josh, so I just would like to see more of an offensive, like, I'm not afraid to shoot the ball. That's kind of the one thing I would want more from him, because a lot of his points do come from putback dunks or extremely close layups. And, you know, at some point you're going to meet a center who will take that away from you, or at some point you will meet someone that will have that force you to put the ball and shoot. And, yes, he's still shooting 100% from three on the year, but, I mean...
What, two for that's, two, three that's for three? Two, he two had a three. He had a three against Providence.
Yes, yeah, so he's had
one of one from three.
He's had three attempts in the year, I believe, and he's made all three, which is, you know,
well,
know
you just make them. Like,
Know your shot, you know, but I just want to see him, I would want to see him shoot more. You know, not be afraid to take a, you know, 16, 17 footer and shoot it with confidence. Because, well, I think we've seen him try and do it at some points throughout the year, and he's missed badly, airballed, front iron.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
you show him he can shoot, because he also went 6-for-6 from the line. So, like, yeah.
Remember that game last year against Butler, he forgot how to shoot free throws.
Last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Oh, okay. good cover.
It makes me wonder, like, where he's going to play next year. Like, is he going to stay at the four? Does he move to the three? Like,
with three centers coming in and Omar Ayers having... If one of them plays the four, he might move to the three.
No, he's gonna stay the four.
But I also can't imagine the starting lineup being anything but the current starting lineup and switching
Jesse for Yurt. Exactly. Yeah. But, like, it'll be interesting just to, like, you know, maybe have the option where you have more bigs and you need, you know, maybe Jamarco's not having as good a game and you're like, okay, I can throw this big in and just ship Josh up. And if he's confident enough in his shot and wants to take that, then, you know, I think it's a viable option that doesn't give up very much on the offensive end.
Absolutely. So, aside from Josh, other freshmen decided that they wanted to be the stars against Butler. Mac McClung, with half of Gate City watching and a brand new haircut.
Might have been all of Gate City
watching, and Mike Pence. Dropped 21 points, 4 rebounds, but the Hoyas dropped a game to Butler. Jamarco Pickett again shined in this game with 18 points and 7-for-11 shooting, which was great. Jesse Govan had 12, Josh LeBlanc had 7, but the Hoyas were unable to pull the win out. They struggled in the first half, and even when they came back in the second half, they weren't able to fully get there. They got a few crucial stops at the end, but could not score down the stretch, and ultimately dropped what is probably a huge game in terms of whether or not they're going to, like, have real NCAA tournament hopes. What does this game mean for this team?
It is a dropped opportunity. I think Patrick Ewing came in the press conference afterwards and basically said, we need this game because we need to separate ourselves. We want to do well, and we didn't do that. So he was disappointed, especially down the stretch. Like, they just missed passes that they would normally make, like Jesse Govan throwing a pass out of bounds, a ball going down low into Jesse in the post. Jesse might have been tugged a little bit, but, I mean, you never know. I mean, Mac McClung missing a layup through in traffic, but that's kind of his bread and butter. You expect him to hit those. It's just these shots that, well, and also, you know, maybe a phantom foul that bailed out Kamar Baldwin late in the shot clock. But, I mean, like, these are things that you
expect. Well, we did miss the front end of a one-on-one on that one.
Yeah, but then James is stuck with four, and it changes how he plays James the rest of the time. Yeah. Like, these are things that you would expect to normally go down for the Hoyas that just didn't. And even when they're mounting this comeback, it never felt like, oh, here comes the Hoyas throwing back. It felt like they were kind of plodding back with their bench kind of on and just, like, preventing Butler from scoring and, like, maybe muscling in the lane for a basket every time. But, like, they still trailed for the, I think, final half hour of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can write this loss off to two things. The first thing would be the slow start they got off to in the first half. You know, they weren't their normal selves of getting out, scoring the ball. Mac was struggling to kind of find his shot. You know, you kind of were watching it kind of being like, you know, like, who's going to be that person that's going to have, you know, possibly double-digit points in the first half. And it was something where you're kind of like looking like trying to see who that leader was going to be. And it didn't really shine through until later in the first half, even probably into the second half. And that's the first thing. The second thing, I think, as well, is just the defensive intensity just did not seem to be there. You know, there were a lot of careless rotations, a lot of, you know, not helping on defense or helping too much on defense. You know, I think you look at the little things like that, and you can definitely see why this game was lost. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that they have to clean up moving forward if, you know, they want to possibly run the table, which is, I think, what the focus has to become if they want to even have another thought of making the NCAA tournament. But before we even, like, venture down that path, I think, you know, they just have to clean up the little things. You know, I think each player, I can think of, like, four different players right now, I think, who had errant entry passes into Jesse or Josh in the post, or who threw a careless ball. And, you know, talking about the play where Jesse kind of got a little tug, the chair was pulled off from underneath him. Jesse did, you know, get a little tug. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you're a big man, you're supposed to kind of fight through that and kind of get there. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, look at things like that. And, you know, Pat, obviously, I have a feeling he's going to show them film and, you know, really get on them. You can see it in the postgame quotes. You know, this is not what we need to do. You know, this was one of the biggest student section crowds that we've had in, I would say, probably the last 2 years of the home game.
Yeah, and also total attendance was, like, total attendance 13,000. Yeah. Like, it was a big crowd.
It was a big crowd. And, you know, we haven't had a game that big, you know, in a bit. And so I think that, you know, it's one of the times where, you know, you have to kind of cherish that opportunity. Like, we have a crowd. And, you know, the fans had, you know, I think definitely showed, you know, they wanted Georgetown to win this game. You know, when I think down the stretch, Mac hit a big three, then James came back and hit a three, and then Jamarco had a nice putback dunk or something. You know, there was some, like, sequence of events where it really brought the game, I think, within five or three. And it,
anytime it was a one possession game, you could see the crowd start to stand up.
At one point, Patrick Ewing was waving
his
hands to stand up.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever seen that before.
No, I haven't either. Like, they
were last 2 years. Yep. He was willing the crowd, and the crowd was willing the team. They just could not score.
Just didn't come off. Like, even to go back with, like, the entry passes into Jesse, I think that's one thing both Ewing and then also Mac, when the players came in afterwards, said in the post-game presser that, like, they didn't get Jesse enough touch in the second half. Because he had 9 at halftime.
Yeah.
He finished with 12. And if he's your best player and he's only getting, you know, 8 shots, that's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as opposed to Mac McClung taking 19 shots and, you know, hitting 7 of them, but he's not entirely efficient.
He was 7 for 15 at one point. He just, like, I think towards the end, I think he just wanted to, like, do it all himself.
And just try and get him back in the game, yeah.
Exactly. But I will say, you know, Jesse Govan had no points against Villanova, then had 13, then 12.
13
and 12. This is a kid who was averaging 19 points a game. We're used to seeing him with 20 points, 30 points. He was, you know, the guy. And as of late, other people have stepped up. Max stepped up, and Jamarco stepped up, and Josh has stepped up. But does Jesse need to step up if this team is going to do what it takes to, like, make a run down the stretch?
I think that's a yes and no answer. Yes, Jesse's the face of the team. Jesse is, you know, when you think of Georgetown Hoyas and you think of the players on the team, Jesse's the first player that comes to mind. And so I think that, you know, if this team wants to have a deep shot of running into the Big East tournament, or, you know, eventually making a deep run into whether it's the NIT or the NCAA tournament, you know, Jesse needs to bounce back. And, you know, I have confidence that he will. But I also think that he obviously can't do it all himself. And I think that was kind of the issue that, you know, the Hoyas ran into early in the season, was Jesse was doing it a lot himself and wasn't getting a lot of help from other players. He'd be one player contributing. But I think that having kind of that, what is starting to become more of a complete scoring effort from everyone that touches the floor, I think will really work in the benefit of the Hoyas. Because, you know, I think one bright spot that we haven't touched on is, you know, Caleb Johnson. You know, he had 9 points against Providence, 7 points against Butler, which, you know, is, I believe, above, you know, a little above his scoring average for the season.
And he did it in 10 and 12 minutes.
Yeah, he's done it in very limited minutes. So he's very efficient when he's in, and he's becoming a scrapper, I guess is what I would say. You know, he's that person that's going to get on the floor for the loose ball. You know, he's yelling at his teammates on defense to, you know, switch or, you know, get out, you know, and he's getting the rebounds, getting the putbacks. You know, every game, you know, Caleb's good for at least one and one layup and probably one, like, good pass out to someone to get him a shot. And so, you know, I think, you know, looking at, you know, the completeness that this lineup's starting to grow into, you know, yes, Javon and Greg are still struggling, you know, in some regards, but I think that having this completeness start to come, and yes, it does suck that it's so late in the season, but it also could be a blessing in disguise that this team is starting to really become complete right at the right time when you're going to face a team like Seton Hall on Wednesday and then eventually Villanova and Marquette.
I tend to agree with you on that. I think the completeness of this team is good.
Oh, we're agreeing? We're so cute.
We are agreeing. I think as far as Jesse is concerned, I mean, teams are starting to scheme specifically for him. Like the last couple of games I covered, Marquette came in, Wojo, however you pronounce his name, I'm not going to even try to do it, talked about how they changed the way they play ball screens and who they had on Jesse to neutralize him. LeVar Jordan came in after the Butler game and talked about with his Georgetown team, they have so many options. You have to pick and choose. Is it LeVar or LaVal?
Lavelle.
Either way. Lavelle Jordan. Like he talked about how you have to pick and choose, and basically they decided to focus more on Jesse and James and kind of pick and choose what they can, and it worked for him. So like I think Jesse's just going to be targeted with specific game plans to try and take him out of the game. They have to get him touches, and they have to make sure they still feed him and make sure he's still engaged in the game, because you can't have your best player not touching it. But like he doesn't, I don't think he necessarily has to go for 20 every time like he would have had to, you know, back in January.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I do think that if he's consistently going for 12 and 13 now, I don't know if that will be enough, especially when as much as James is contributing in other ways, he's not scoring. But we will see what happens down the stretch. I think this Butler game for a lot of people was seen as a bubble maker. You know, if the Hoyas won, they would probably be on the bubble. That we said they had to go probably 7-2 before that game. Now they maybe have one loss left. Maybe they have to run the table. If they lose once, do they have to win one or two games in the Big East tournament? What do you guys think is the future for this team with 8 games left?
I think...
Is it 8 or 7?
7. Yeah, I think it's 7.
I
think...
5, 6...
While we're figuring that out, 7. I think to wrap my thought up on Jesse as well, I think one thing that, you know, I think we talked about off tape was Jesse getting the ball a lot out of position. You know, his sweet spots on the floor. You know, yes, he's definitely missing some shots in his sweet spots, but I think, you know, getting the ball back to him on either one of the posts so he can just go over the opposite shoulder, or, you know, getting the ball to him where he can have his feet set for a trailing three-pointer. You know, things like that I think are like the little things that's kind of contributed to a lot of his struggles. Because I remember at one point in the Butler game, Jorgensen switched on to him and Jesse did not know what to do. You know, he like went to try and back him down and then hesitated, ended up kicking the ball out and it got turned over. And so I think, you know, right now it's kind of just a confidence shift for him when he has to kind of just find that confidence again. But definitely moving forward, you know, all of these games are a must win. You know, if you're going to drop one, it has to be either Villanova or Marquette. But even then, I don't even want to say that you can afford to drop one at this point. You have to go in and dominate Seton Hall at Seton Hall. Then you have to come back home and take on Villanova. And then go on the road again and beat Creighton. And
Creighton,
which is tough, especially with the way that the Creighton game went at home. And then you're going to come back home for your final home stand of the season and take on DePaul and Seton Hall, which, you know, are always tough games. Especially with the way that DePaul has been kind of roller coastering throughout this season. So, you know, and then you're going to finish out the season on the road for Marquette and DePaul. So I think, you know, it definitely has to be a well-rested team, a team that is refocused, and a team that's focused on, you know, one thing, and that's just winning. You know, you can't focus on what happened last game or the game before or the game before. You know, Jesse has to kind of forget about the Villanova game. Jamarco has to forget about his preseason struggles, you know. everybody can kind of has to forget about everything that's happened before now and focus on the fact that, you know, this is day one, you know, game whatever, and let's go and let's win, because that's what we do.
I think this team is talented enough to beat every team that they have to play, with the exception of maybe they are not talented enough to beat a full-strength Marquette at Marquette.
I disagree.
I do not know. Like I said, I do not know if they can go on the road at Marquette and win. I don't know, with Marcus Howard healthy. I mean, he just dropped, what, 38 points against Villanova. We've always had trouble containing guards, and so I worry what that would look like. Can they beat Seton Hall? Absolutely. They showed that they can beat Villanova, like, say, for 5 minutes at the end of the last Villanova game. They've shown that they have the potential to beat Creighton. I would hope that they could beat DePaul, though. DePaul's also 5-6 at this point.
Who isn't 5-6?
Who isn't 5-6? In that regard, thank you, Jorge, for segueing us into the Big East standings. Villanova is 10-1. Marquette is 9-2. Everyone else, not everyone else, five teams are then 5-6. Providence and Creighton are 4-7. Xavier's 3-8. Whew, rough for Xavier.
Yep.
A rebuild.
So there's a 5-way tie for third in the Big East right now, which is crazy because there's only, what did we decide there were? Seven games left.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
So, and there's two teams at 4-7.
And there's two teams at 4-7, exactly. And Xavier probably has the talent to run the table and, like, jump their way back up.
Xavier?
Yeah.
Has the talent to run the table? Who do they have left?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But
I promise you that there is no way in any word that I'm not going to say on this podcast that they will run the table.
Voice podcasts are explicit.
We have an explicit podcast channel.
I'm just not going there. There is no.
Okay, but like, I think Xavier could not finish in the bottom four.
What?
I think that's
look at their schedule right now.
I think that's possible.
Pull up their schedule, please.
No. But anyways, do you guys remember that year? It was like 2 years ago where no one knew who was going to be third in the Big East until like the last game of the season, and it ended up being Providence until like the regular season. That's the type of thing.
Xavier has to play Villanova. They're not running the table.
At home.
It doesn't matter.
At home.
They have to go to St. John's and play St. John's. They're not going to run the table.
Well,
I promise
you.
St. John's is a Jekyll and Hyde team. You don't know which one you're getting.
You're correct. But I promise you.
You can get the St. John's that loses to Providence at the Garden.
If St. John's loses
by 30 to Duke.
If St. John loses to Xavier, Chris Mullin should be fired. I believe that.
That's a take.
Because there is no way
Georgetown
in
the lost to Xavier. Should Patrick Ewing be hired or fired?
Ooh. Don't go there. Oh, that's a whole different conversation. There is no way in hell.
Okay, it's not a St. John's podcast. Anyway.
I was on one, though.
As far as the standings go, the problem for Georgetown is that two of the teams they are tied with, they split with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The good news is they still have four games against the other two. Mm-hmm. They have to sweep them both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they will not make the tournament unless they win the Big East tournament.
That's
easy enough.
Well, yeah, if they don't sweep both DePaul, I think they could lose to Seton Hall at Seton Hall, which is next, but then they would have to run the table after that, and then maybe they'd be considered just because Seton Hall, which is, Seton Hall is such a weird team because Seton Hall
beat Kentucky,
but they were swept by DePaul.
Yes.
So weird.
I mean, DePaul's not a bad team. They just don't know how to play together,
yeah,
which
DePaul
is a whole different
also,
thing.
Also, like, had like a really bad non-conference schedule and like lost games that they shouldn't have lost.
So do we.
True. So who knows? Basically, is the takeaway. We'll get back to this literally right before the Big East tournament and tell you how the Big East came out, because I have no idea. Do you have any
idea? That sounds about right.
Idea of what?
How Big East is going to shake out?
Oh, it's fine. We're going to just run the table. We're going to jump to probably number 3 in the Big East.
Yeah,
because
no one's catching Marquette.
And
all I know is that Villanova's head and shoulders above the rest of the conference.
They lost to Marquette.
They just lost. It's okay. They're going to lose out.
Villanova's going to lose out?
Villanova's going to lose out.
Let's move on. We're going too far. We got to go.
Villanova's going to lose out.
We got to move forward.
Let's talk about the women now.
Jay Wright's going to get cut. It's going to be great.
He's going to get cut.
He's going to get cut.
How do you cut a coach?
Oh, how do you cut a coach? It's simple. We did it to JT3.
Did he get cut? I think he got fired.
Cut.
Fired. Yeah,
they took his jersey. Said he's done for the day.
All right.
What jersey?
Took his go-kart. He can't get back into the top of the center anymore. I have a building named after his dad, and he can't get into the building. Can't. Exactly.
The other two Thompsons are at the game against Butler. They're both there.
Yeah, because their go-kart still works.
Can you imagine John Thompson Jr. with a go-kart? Okay. Women's basketball. All right, so we talked last week on the pod about how this was going to be a rough weekend for the Hoyas. They had to go to the Midwest and play Marquette and DePaul. And it was a rough weekend. They dropped them both, although they were both close. They could have won either or both of them, which is pretty frustrating. They lost 59-52 to Marquette on Friday, and then they lost 76-71 to DePaul. You know, Dorothy shined against Marquette with 17. Deanna had 10. We saw 13 from Nikola Kovachikova, including, like, great first. She had, I think, 2 threes in the first quarter. And then
all 13 came in the first half.
She did all of her scoring in the first half, yeah, and then shit the bed the rest of the way.
Well, there's our explicit rating. Hey. We finally earned it. And then against DePaul, Deanna had 16, but she fouled out. Dorothy had 15, but also fouled out. Morgan Smith had 10, but also fouled out. Michaela Benson had 9.
She didn't foul out. She
did. She did not foul out.
Tatiana Thompson fouled out.
Also fouled out. I mean, yeah, the refs were picky, but you know, the Hoyas jumped down to 26, and then only like 26 points, and then only scored 9 in the second quarter, and weren't unable to really ever pull back from that, although they did get close. We're going to talk about this weekend as a whole because I think these games are very similar. It's a very similar thing. So what do you guys see from this team this weekend? What does this team mean, or what is these, what do these games mean for this team going forward?
We have a lot of thoughts.
We do have a lot of thoughts.
We have a lot of
thoughts. Which game do you want to express your thoughts on first, Eric?
Let's start with the Marquette game.
Let's start with the Marquette game.
Let's go in order.
Okay. I said we do them both together, but
I think
boys are in charge now.
They're fundamental. I think that they're, although the games are very similar, I think that they went wrong at different stages in each game. So let's go to the Marquette game for a second.
All access on FS1, which was beautiful.
So much to take in.
I think,
but it was great.
So much to take in.
I loved it.
Definitely think the Big East should do that more often.
I really want to see Patrick Ewing and
Chris Mullin mic'd up.
Oh God!
In the Garden, it'd be beautiful.
Big East tournament.
Big East tournament.
They would
or
never
let's
do
mic up.
On a Big East tournament.
Imagine all access with JT3 and Chris Mullin in the fight in the Garden 2 years ago. Oh. That would have been great.
They would have cut it. They would have had to cut it immediately. It would have been so explicit.
Anyway, so here's my frustration with the Marquette game. The Hoyas got complacent. I don't think that there's any other way to say it. They got complacent. They jumped out, you know, 13-11. Okay, came back, you know, lost the second quarter. You know, they traded quarters, and so going into the fourth quarter, you're tied up. The problem became, I think, they forgot that they were playing basketball, and they let Spagnuolo come in off the bench, hit 2 threes, and
on back-to-back possessions.
Coach Howard
immediately calls timeout.
Immediately calls a timeout, rips them to shreds for it, and she comes back. I don't know if it was her, but someone comes back and hits another three, which made no sense to me because we just talked about it in the timeout, and then this happens again. I think the problem with this team is there is not enough leaders on it. I think when you look at it, I think that you have, of the starting five, for example, you have 3 players who are playing individually and then 2 who are along for the ride. Because Deanna's going to get hers. No one's going to stop Deanna from getting hers. Same with Dorothy. Same with Michaela, you can argue. But I think when you look at Morgan and Anita, they're kind of just there. Yes, Morgan had a great game, probably her best of the season in the DePaul game. But I think that this team does not have enough leaders. And I think that it's moments like that when you're down 6, you know, down 7 to the best team in your conference, one of the best teams in the country, is where you need that leader to step up and say, hey, we need to get our stuff together. Let's go. We cannot, you know, your coach can't spoon feed you all the answers. Your coach can't tell you, you know, okay, like you guys got to buy, you know, Howard's phrase was, you guys got to buy into what I'm selling. You got to buy into what I'm selling. You got to buy into what I'm selling. And at some point, someone that's a player, i.e. your captains, have to make you buy in. And that was not visible or audible, for that matter, I think, during any of the all access or even in the post game, breakdown, it wasn't audible. And you compare that to Marquette, And the brand that Coach Kieger is building, she's such a great coach.
Love her.
The brand that she's building, I remember watching this game. She said a phrase and all of her players recited it back to her because they really bought into what she was selling.
Useless is useless.
She said something and her players responded back and you could tell they believed it. You know, you look at the men's game and how the announcers brought up the men's game against Providence where all the players were looking at Coach Ewing when he was talking. They were really believing what he was saying. That was not evident for Marquette with Coach Howard. That wasn't evident for Georgetown in the Marquette game when Coach Howard was talking. You know, you have players kind of looking around, players kind of looking down. You know, they weren't really buying into what he was selling. And I think that is the hard part with this team is that they get to a point where everyone wants to do it themselves. You know, Deanna wants to do it herself. Dorothy wants to do it herself. And they don't know how to play complete team ball. And when they can figure that out, they're a damn good team. But when they can't figure it out, they lose close games.
I mean, speaking of figuring it out, and now I'll segue into the next game, they drop 26 points on DePaul in the first quarter.
Yep.
But the problem with that game is, you know, it's a 5-point game. They lost the second quarter by 10.
Yep.
And it's a point where, to me, it was, you know, the refs were incredibly tight. You take out like the two intentional fouls from Georgetown at the end. There are 47 fouls called in the game. A lot of them that I kind of looked at and thought, really?
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, you have Dorothy Automanco and Deanna White picking up two fouls there. And I think there's a point where when you see your team starting to struggle offensively in that second quarter and there's not a rhythm, you have to risk one of them. And I probably would have risked Deanna White, given that Dorothy was battling with Marte Grays down low the whole time.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're not going to score like that, you got to find something. And you just – I feel like you're not going to be successful with both of those players off the floor at the same time for, you know, 7 minutes of a quarter.
And you look at that game, you know, he pulled both of them and went to – who did he go to? Tatiana Thompson and Brianna Jones, and then he brought in Nikola Kochevkova, Nikki. That's what I'm going to call her. They went to that group, and no one in that group really could score. And so it's like, you know, like, you have four or five players on the floor who all want to, like, let the other person score, but who's going to go and put the ball on the floor and drive into the lane? And so, you know, that's, you know, definitely evident where, you know, you do have to kind of risk one of your players. But if you're going to make the decision to pull them both, you have to make sure that the players that you're putting in buy into what you're selling. If that's what you're going to preach, you have to make sure they buy into what you're selling and they go in there and do the job. And if they don't, call a timeout, sit them down and say, hey, okay, look, I'm putting my starters back in. Dorothy and Deanna, do not foul. Mm-hmm. If you're going to foul, make sure it is a good one. Like,
yeah,
you have to do that because, if Georgetown wins these two games this weekend, this is a completely different conversation. You know, their season is, I'm not going to say very different, but their season is different. You know, you look at it, you know, they win these two games.
I'd say very different.
They go from 5-8 right now to
7-6,
which would put them at
with a win third, over the number 8 team in the
fourth.
Nation.
It would put them at fourth in the Big East. And
well, they'd be tied for third with DePaul.
Oh, correction. Yes, tied for third with DePaul.
And they'd have a win over
the number 1 team in the country. I mean, in the conference, sorry. So
who hasn't lost a conference game yet?
Yes.
Like, it could have been drastically different. Like, and especially this DePaul game for me is the bigger miss. Because Marquette, I mean, like, you caught Marquette on a bad day. Like, last year they caught Marquette on a bad day and whooped them. This year they didn't. Oh, well. But DePaul, to me, didn't even play that bad.
They didn't.
Like, DePaul got what they wanted. They got the open threes they wanted. And still Georgetown was able to hang around and had points in the fourth quarter where, you know, they have a layup to tie and they missed.
And, you know, to piggyback off of that, Jorge, I think one thing that's very interesting, if you remember the all-access game, Coach Kieger was like, you know, we know what they like to do. They like to jump at our ball fakes, and they like to run their offense through Dorothy. And so it's like, teams, I think, have figured out our offense a lot, and so they take away Dorothy and Deanna, we lose. And I think, you know, that was kind of evident today. You know, Marte Grays and Dorothy Automako was a very good matchup. I would pay to watch that matchup
every day. That was a battle.
That was a battle. You have two players, you know, arguably the best at their positions, you know, going at it down low, and even they're not afraid to shoot it. You know, you have to do something where you can gain the advantage in one of those situations. And, you know, today's a game in which, you know, your star point guard, Mikayla Vincent, should have stepped up. You know, she was limited to 23 minutes. Not sure why. I mean, yes, she was struggling to shoot it. She finished with 9 points. But, you know, that is, I think, a missed opportunity as well. You know, Mikayla has shown time and time again that she can score. You know, that she can kind of pace the offense enough. You know, yes, you know, we've talked about her having careless turnovers or whatever, but I think at the end of the day, if I have to choose anyone to take a shot, it's probably going to be either Mikayla or Deanna. Like, if I have to, like, a jump shot.
And Mikayla's just aggressive, and she's got, you know, 5 years now of experience with college ball, and she's just confident in her being. And I think watching some other girls on the team, especially freshmen like Cassandra Gordon or Nikki, handle the ball, you can see, and Nikki's coming into her own a bit more, but getting, like, inbounds passes in or coming, like, dribbling out of double teams, things like that, that they just struggle with. And, you know, we saw some careless turnovers today because they were just, you know, Nikki had 4 turnovers and she was just a little apprehensive when she gets doubled, or Cassandra Gordon is just kind of apprehensive with the ball. And so I would just really like seeing Mikayla play. I wish Mikayla would have had more minutes, especially because she only had 1 foul. And I think she just brings in a level of aggressiveness to this team that no one else really has. And I think she might actually be the biggest team player on this team as well.
I think she probably is. Yeah. I think she's the biggest team player on this team, without a doubt. And, you know, I also would like to say, you know, I've been impressed, well, today especially, I think I was really impressed.
We're recording this on Sunday, by the way, after the women played the ball.
Correct, yes. I was really impressed with Tatiana Thompson's production. You know, I've been saying for weeks, you know, I want her to come in and I want her to, you know, get in the game.
It's what we've been looking for.
You know, it's what we've been looking for.
Could do without the 5 fouls.
You know, we could definitely do without the 5 fouls. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think in the Marquette game, you kind of
look. Boogie little stats.
Yeah, you can look in the Marquette game. And you can look in the Marquette game and see maybe some of the reasons as to why she has not been playing so much. But I think, you know, you look at the DePaul game, and it was kind of like a night and day difference. You know, she scored. She had 5 points. She had a very nice buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter. You know, she played very good defense when she was switched on to Marte Graves down low. And so, you know, I was very pleased with her production, and I'm very pleased with the production of Brianna Jones. Brianna Jones has the look of a WNBA player to me. Like, I say this in kind of just the way that she carries herself on the basketball court, the way that she attacks her court vision, I think is very good, and I like seeing her play. I just wish that always carried over to more production in terms of, like, more scoring or more things like that. But, you know, scoring isn't everything. It does win games, but so does defense, and I think she's become a very good defensive player as well.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely grabbing. I think she does a lot of things that does not show up on the stat sheet, but she has a look on that team that I like, and I think that she'll be very fun to watch next year as well. But who knows?
So with these losses, the Hoyas fall to tied for second to last with Creighton, who they split with. But they're 5-8, and there are a ton of teams right ahead of them that are 6-7, including Villanova, who will go on the road to play next week.
They got popped by Marquette.
We've slept on the fact that the women's Big East is just as close to the men's.
Yeah, aside from Xavier at 2-10 and Marquette at 12-0, there's a nice little solid. Everyone's within 3 games of each other there in the middle.
It's a cluster.
It is a cluster. And the women have now played the hardest part of their schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get Seton Hall and St. John's, who they are sure want revenge when those two come to D.C.
Less about that weekend, the better, Jesus.
Yeah, they...
Is that kids' weekend? Or is it...
It is kids' weekend.
So they'll play Seton Hall in the field trip game. They'll have to go on the road at Butler and Xavier, but, you know, Xavier's looking like a team that they should beat, and...
Time at Hinkle Fieldhouse, honestly. I think that was Deanna's career high.
That was Deanna's career high.
Once upon a time, like, she put 29 there.
I think, the hardest part of their schedule is over. And they've shown that they can beat Villanova. Will they go on the road and beat Villanova next week? We'll see. After that, you know, I think this team could win out, maybe. I don't know what that means. I still think the NCAA tournament, the only way at this point, I really think, is if they win the Big East tournament, which I do not believe will happen. But I think they can, you know, make another NIT run if they can make a little end-of-the-season run here.
Well, hopefully it's a it's an NIT run.
A run, not just, one game.
Two games.
Yeah. It was two games last year.
Because, like, this team has to win out to have any sort of consideration for, you know, tournament, for hosting WNIT games, for whatever. Mm-hmm. The issue with this weekend is that, you know, had they taken one of these games, they had breathing room to get 10-8. Now they don't.
Yeah.
One bad game, and we've seen them put in bad games against some of this competition before, and that derails, and they probably have to go on the road for the first round of the WNIT. Yeah. Like, I haven't looked at the rest of the teams that would be WNIT caliber, but that's just my initial reaction compared to, like, what we thought of this team last year.
And what we thought of this team was going to be coming in.
Yeah, and we'll definitely see. I mean, I think you'll probably see a couple Big East teams in the WNIT this season as well. You'll probably see, my guess is the teams that will probably get an into the NCAA tournament will probably be Marquette, Butler, maybe DePaul, depending on how they finish out the season. I think those three teams.
DePaul had a strong schedule. I think DePaul the Big East gets three teams.
I think the Big East gets three teams in. If not, then I see them getting two, and then them getting three teams into the NIT. I think that it's going to be. Yes, we swept Providence. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a very interesting end of the season. But you know, these are must win games. You know, I think we all can agree on that. These are must win games, and they cannot afford to drop anything. You know, cannot afford to get caught sleeping on even one out of bounds play, because you know, I think they learned in the Marquette game that, you know, two quick threes can really change the scope of an entire game, and especially with you having more away games than you do have home games left. Or maybe it's tied up even.
Three and two,
yes. So with you having more away games than you have home games, you know, you obviously want to protect the home front, but you want to make sure you can go on the road and take care of business.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'll be a very interesting end of the season. And I think that they need to figure out some type of way to play team ball.
I agree. We will probably be off next week, considering there will only be one women's game and one men's game to talk about at that point. And the three of us will be at game night at Miranda and Andrea's house, so we won't be on the pod.
Who?
You know,
Miranda and Andrea have a game
night. We can always just do the pod there.
Drake?
I was told about it on my way here. They told me, They said, Jorge, Beth, and Errol, we've invited each of you at separate times, so you all have to be there.
Errol? Who's Errol?
So maybe only two out of three of us will be at game night on this episode.
Errol can do the pod himself. No,
I don't trust Errol to do the pod himself. Never in a million years.
Oh, well, shit. That'll be something fun.
Just you ranting to yourself. Who are you gonna talk to?
I'm gonna like call someone and just like this so I can have someone to talk to.
He's gonna call someone from back home. He's not gonna call his cousin.
I'll
call Chris. Or I'll call Caleb.
Yeah,
that would get us in trouble.
No.
And this is why he's not doing the pod on his own, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're hearing this, Jeff, I'm sorry, we will not be doing that without your permission. I promise.
Caleb. Yeah, I'm not talking about Caleb Johnson. I'm talking about Caleb from GPB.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, relax. You have to clear that up, please.
Relax.
All right. If you made it to the end of this podcast, you're probably one of our parents. But we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Teams go, of course, Big East Championship.
I think we have a lot more length. And that's really on our strengths.
No matter what we do, we always have to bring energy from the beginning.
It can't be just one person. It has to be the whole entire team.
Whatever happens, you gotta stay locked in, stay motivated, and do what you gotta do to be the player you wanna be.